One man, the challenge tonight is a challenge not just to pray on Thursday, the National Day of Prayer. Hopefully you pray for our nation on a regular basis. Right? Didn't you learn this morning this means yes? Okay. Okay, it's time for a commercial. Thursday, we went to the associational meeting, and Brother David asked me to go because he would be out of town, and I went, and they were introducing the missionaries that are going to be at different churches this weekend and the mission fair Saturday, and there's probably about 30 of them. They're all lined up, facing the congregation, shoulder to shoulder, except, guess who? Francois. He was facing them and checking out the missionaries, and Joshua looked over at me, and he goes, "That guy's different." And I go, "Yeah, that guy's coming to our church to preach." And then this morning after I picked him up, we're going down a road in Palm Coast, and there's buzzards on the side of the road eating roadkill. And he goes, "Whoa, can I take a picture of that?" And I stopped, and I looked at him, and I go, "You want to take a picture of the buzzards?" And he goes, "I've never seen anything like that. Those big birds eating an animal on the side of the road like that." I go, "Okay." So I turned around. He took a picture of the buzzards to take back to Canada with him, and he was all right. So maybe we overestimate tourists when they come to St. Augustine, what they'll pay money to see, right? Anyway, okay. Go with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. And I listened to a man preach a while ago that I've known for over 20 years, and I haven't heard him in a while, and when I did hear him, he was preaching the same evangelistic, not the same message, but the same evangelism that I heard him preach a long time ago. And as I prayed about the message tonight, sometimes Brian Jones in the flesh argues with God. And I'll argue with God about, you know, Lord, these people are fed every week by the Word of God. And, you know, can we give them something new, something different, something, you know, that they'll walk out of here and go, wow. And that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said that we're going to talk about prayer tonight. And what I want to do, I want to look at three different places in the Word of God, how an individual prayed and God heard that prayer and God did something. And the challenge is for us to pray this week for our nation. But if we're not praying the way that we need to pray, we need to make that a habit. And hopefully we'll continue to do that. Just let me just say this. For some years now, I've been checking out IRIS, which is a seismic monitor of the world. And it shows you a picture of the world. If you go to IRIS and earthquakes, it'll pull it up for you. But anyway, for several years now, because one of the things that Jesus said was there'd be earthquakes in diverse places, and now we've got ways to monitor all that. Every day since I've been checking it for years, there's been some earthquake somewhere. You ready for this? The last 2 days, there has not been any earthquakes over 4.0. I'm just saying. You know, we need to be ready for the Lord Jesus to come back. And we need to know what the Word of God says. Nehemiah was a captive in the land. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 11, then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Nehemiah speaking. He says, "So it was when I heard these words," he got a report about Jerusalem, "that I sat down and I wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to a place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Oh, Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. One man got a report from Jerusalem that things were not well, and he went to pray. And a few observations we need to make. First of all, he was a captive in a foreign land. Okay? We are pilgrims just passing through. Y'all know that, right? Even if you own property, guess what? It's not yours. It's God's. Okay, you might have a piece of paper that says it is. That's okay. But we are just passing through. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your home is in heaven, and that's where we're going to spend our eternity. He was a servant to a pagan king. Okay? Y'all got that? He was a servant to a pagan king. And he receives a bad report about his homeland in Jerusalem, so he's sad, he mourns, he's fasting, and he's praying. Now, when was the last time we were so stirred in our hearts that we started fasting and mourning and praying and begging God to do something? It's a picture in the Old Testament about grabbing hold of the horns of the altar and not letting go. You're there, and you're, you know, how much do we care about the next generation? How much do we care about our nation? How much do we care about what's really going on? And this, when your faith is real, nothing can rob you of your faith. Nothing. No situation, no circumstance, no matter what they throw at you. Let me just say this about Francois. He is more real than you know he is. Because as I spent time with him today, he shared some things, and he is real for Jesus. Amen? So, when your faith is real, nothing can take that from you. Go with me. You know John 10, 28 and 29. If you're in the Lord's hand, nothing can take you out of the Lord's hand. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 8 real quick. See, my pastor gave me this Bible, and it's got thumb tabs, and I started using them. Man. And I knew that was going to happen. That's why I didn't have thumb tabs on purpose. Okay, Romans chapter 8, look in verse 35. See, I could blame it on the medication, then y'all would feel sorry for me, wouldn't you? No? Okay. All right, Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And if we are his redeemed and we are his children, we don't have anything to worry about. And we need to be crying out to an almighty and a holy God and ask him to do that. When I've told you all this before, but when we went to the Bahamas on one of our mission trips, one of the church members decided to take us over to the out island so we could do some snorkeling. And on the way there, the boat that he was towing sank. And what I was thinking about when I was thinking about that, the Lord told us that something was going to happen. We were sitting there in this little barge he was towing, and the guy that was with me looks at me and he goes, "Brother, we're going down." And I hadn't realized that we started squatting in the back and filling up with water. His son from the first boat hopped back and he went to turn on the bilge pump, but it was too late. That thing went down and it turned over, and it was tied with a huge rope. And God took care of that too, because that sinking boat should have brought down the other boat, but it didn't. It just came miraculously untied, and the Lord took care of it. Danny, who said that, he was retired Air Force. He trained the guy that trained Scott. What's the guy that got shot down? What's his name, Sandy? You don't know who I'm talking about. Anyway, but God gave us wisdom to get ready in just moments of seconds, because we didn't have life jackets. We didn't have all the Coast Guard equipment we were supposed to have. That maybe it's just because it's a foreign country. But anyway, God was with us. God spared us, and then God gave us joy because what our friend did, instead of taking us back to the dock, he didn't want us to miss any of the trips, so he took the first bunch that he had in the boat over to the island and dropped them off, and he came back and got the rest of us that were bobbing around in the water and took us over to the island so we could enjoy the rest of the day anyway, even though our boat sank. But the Lord took care of us, and we prayed for that, and he did that. You know, we prayed before we went on that trip. We prayed while we were on that trip, and we prayed that everything would be, even in our ignorance sometimes, God takes care of that, and we need to thank him for that. When you look at the prayer of Nehemiah, here's a captive of some pagans in a foreign land with a pagan king, and he goes to the Lord in prayer. And just some things I want us to look at. And the first thing is that he addresses the one true God. Okay, that might sound like a no-brainer to us, but that is who we talk to. We talk to the one and only true Almighty God of all creation. That should amaze us when the world is going crazy, and a lot of people do not believe what we believe. They don't know the truth. We're praying to the one true God. We need to remind ourselves of that. What a wonderful blessing and opportunity it is that God would allow us to address him. And then the second thing is he begs for God's audience. You can't just walk into the throne room and start demanding. Now, y'all think about your morning prayers. Do you have a shopping list that you rattle off to God? It's like you call somebody for delivery. Hey, God, this is me. This is what I need. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then hang up on him. That's not going to work. But that's what we do sometimes because we're in such a hurry and we know we got to mention some things to God. It's like we're just reading off our shopping list and hanging up on him before he can say, hey, wait, we're out of that. You know, I got something else for you. Something else is going on. But in verse 6, he said, please hear me. And he asked the Lord, please see what's going on. Now, God knows everything that's going on already. So most of the time when we're asking God to know what's going on, his Spirit's working through us, helping us to understand what's really going on. So he's praying to God. He's asking for an audience. And then he asks for forgiveness. We are in great need of forgiveness, whether you want to realize that or not. He prays for the people, the nation. He prays for them. And if we're going to bring that to us, we're praying for the church. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our church. You know, there's a lot of pulpits today that the gospel was not preached at. The word of God was not open. A social gospel was presented to make people feel better on their way to missing what life is really all about, and that's meeting God and giving him glory. So dump your pride and ask God to forgive us. There's not a person in this room, there's not a person on the planet that's perfect other than Jesus Christ, and he's seated on the throne. So we need to understand that. There is sin in our lives. All unrighteousness is sin. So if it's not right, it's sin. So we all have sin in our life. Y'all good with that? Okay, we're all in the same boat. Some of y'all's might be worse than some of the other ones. But, okay, we all need to ask for forgiveness collectively, individually, and pray for our nation. We know there's sin in our nation, right? Proverbs 21 says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And like a river of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Almighty God is sovereign. And God can change anything. He has the king's heart in his hand. The answer came to Nehemiah. When you get into chapter 2, the answer is on the way. The process begins. And basically, this is the Brian Jones paraphrase again. Basically, the king, the pagan king, looks at Nehemiah and he goes, what's wrong? You look different. You're not the same Nehemiah. What's going on? So Nehemiah explains to him that he got a bad report about his homeland and he's concerned about it. And then the king says, what can I do for you? The pagan king asks the child of God, what can I do? And you know, he gets permission to go and he gets finances and the king sends him to Jerusalem to take care of things. Don't underestimate what God can do as we pray for our nation this week, okay? Pray for God to do something as we do that. And there's some things on your card to remind you. I think there's probably a sign up in the back. Are we doing that? I don't know. We'll find out. Go back there and look. But the church will be open all day Thursday for people to pray. All right. So pray and stay at it. Nothing happens on planet Earth that God does not allow. Amen? So whatever has happened, God has allowed it. God might not like it, but he is sovereign and he's in charge, and that's why we need to go to him. Then go over to Daniel chapter 9, which I know I preached on after VBS last year sometime, but I want to bring up some things. I'm not going to go over the entire prayer, but I am going to point some things out that are similar to what Nehemiah did and how that works. In verse 2, Daniel uses, this is chapter 9 in Daniel, he speaks to God about what a prophet has said earlier. Jeremiah the prophet had predicted the number of days that they would be in captivity, and that time was up. Verse 2, it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Time was up, time was to go back, and Daniel knew that. Now, the miracle in Daniel's life was that he had survived so many different regimes, because when these regimes would take over, when a king would go out and another would come in, they'd usually kill everybody that had anything to do with the regime before them, and it's just like a bad coup, and they would start all over again because they didn't want anybody that had any allegiance to the former king. So one miracle there is that he had outlasted them. And then verse 2 also, or the second thing in verse 3, is about desperate prayer, okay? We need to be people of desperate prayers. We think about our nation and people that we're lifting up. It says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now, he's talking about some particulars there that show the emotions of the heart and the seriousness. He was fasting. The sackcloth and ashes was a thing where they would literally wear clothes like burlap. They were uncomfortable and throw ashes on their head to symbolize that they were serious about what was going on. And we don't need to put on a show, but God can read our hearts and how much do we really care about what's going on. And you might have to ask the Lord to help you in that area as you do that. We have a tendency to grow cold to what's going on around us. And, you know, I know just from watching TV shows. And I remember when Mr. Vreeland taught me church training, that he said, and this was over 20 years ago, that in 20 years Christians wouldn't be watching TV. And maybe we shouldn't, you know? How y'all doing with that? What do you mean? There was a kid who used to go talk to Andy Stanley, and he had partaken in alcoholic beverages. Every time he did it with his brother at Pizza Hut. So Andy Stanley told him, quit going to Pizza Hut. And he'd say, what's wrong with Pizza Hut? Nothing's wrong with Pizza Hut, but when you go to Pizza Hut with your brother, you drink beer. So quit going to Pizza Hut. What's wrong with Pizza Hut? He didn't get it. So if there's something that's causing us to go away from the Lord or get sidetracked, quit going there. Amen? Y'all got these little plastic boxes at home? Hit the off button, you know? If that shouldn't be on TV, why are you watching it? Turn it off. All right. Again, Daniel prays to the one true God. The fourth thing is he confesses sin. Look in verse 5 with me. Daniel says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and to our princes, to our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O righteous Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but shame of face to us. And when you talk about sin, he says they've committed iniquity, they've done wickedly, they've rebelled, they've departed from the precepts and the judgments, they've flat out just disobeyed. And again, he says, to us belongs shame of face. And God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if that's the standard that God wants us to have, we need to make sure that we're moving in that direction. Okay? All right. And then he asks in verse 9, he asks for mercy and forgiveness. Look in verse 9. He He says, to the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, that we have rebelled against him. We don't deserve it, but you have it, God. You can forgive us and you can extend mercy to us, and that's what he's praying for. Now go with me to James chapter 5. That would be in the New Testament. Look at verse 16. James 5, verse 16. It's a New Testament reference to an Old Testament prophet. In verse 16, James writes, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Think about that. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. As we bow down before an almighty God and we pray for our nation, are we willing to take 3.5 years of no rain for the nation to fall on its knees? See, one man said, if God judges America before Jesus comes back, then we're going to be in that judgment with America. So things could get bad. That doesn't sound real fun, does it? But if you are his child, nothing can take that away from you. The peace and the joy and the comfort and all the goodness of God that he promises will be with us no matter if we're all going through the dust bowl together. Amen? And see, what's the value of God doing something for our nation's attention to be had so that they turn to an almighty and a holy God? And I'm not saying we need to pray for doom. I'm just saying if we get on our knees and we beg God to do something and it don't rain for 3.5 years or God chooses to do whatever, then ride it out, but hang on to the peace and the joy and everything that the Lord will have for us. Amen? It got real quiet then, didn't it? Because we don't think like that, do we? See, because the way I think is like, we'll just all pray, and God's Spirit's going to move across the land, and everybody's going to get saved, everybody's going to be happy. We'll be building new churches, churches will be packed out, everybody will be singing songs, you know. But what's it going to take to get America to drop to their knees? And that's what we got to be willing to do. Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous avails much. It doesn't have to be a man. It can be a woman, a child, a teenager. So we need to be praying. Can you trust God for what he wants to do? Elijah was ordinary, he was observant, and he was obedient. We are ordinary people. Are we observant? Are we watching what's going on? I believe we're observant. I believe when we meet Sunday after Sunday and Wednesdays and we take the Word of God and we go from here and we look at our nation and the people around us, I believe we're observant about what's going on, but are we obedient? And this week, I think we've got a challenge to be obedient, to be on our knees and be praying, or on our faces before an almighty and holy God. So I would like to beg you to be people of prayer this week. Don't just wait till Thursday. But let's pray for our nation. And let's pray that God's will would be done this week. Amen. Not this week, but let's pray. Get into a habit of it. Go back over that and look at Nehemiah and look at Daniel and how they prayed and what they did. You know, do you have a time that you have set aside right now? If you don't, set aside a time. You know, do some fasting. Do some mourning. One of the things I've heard this week, it just, you know, you hear bad stuff and it tears your heart out because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to mess everything up. And we have a real enemy out there. But Jesus said, I come to bring life more abundantly. Amen? And that's what we've got to look forward to. Give you 10 minutes back. Actually, that clock back there is all messed up. Okay, let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for loving us. Lord Jesus, I pray that individually in our hearts you challenge us right now about being people of prayer. Lord, we talk about prayer. We have prayer meetings. We tell people we're praying for them. But God, how many times do we take the time to mourn and weep? and cry out to you for the unrighteousness that's going on. And Lord, there's a lot of it in our nation. And God, we want to start with us. One man said, draw a circle and get in it and ask God to send revival there. And that's where we need to start individually. So Lord, I pray that this week you would challenge us to set time aside to meet with you and cry out to you and pray. And God, I pray that our nation would be stirred. The people of God would be stirred to cry out to you. Lord, when your people cried out in Egypt because they were in bondage, you delivered them. And God, I pray that the righteous that know you as their Father would cry out to you this week. So Lord, stir hearts and pour your Spirit out. And then Lord, show us what we need to do individually and how we need to do it. So Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, again, I want to lift up Brother David to you. And Lord, even now as it's early morning over there and they're starting to stir, God, I pray that you just bless them and watch over them and keep them safe as they go through the day. Give them wisdom beyond what they expect and just show them your presence. And God, again, thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, we pray.